Tonight, taking care of business. 13 days to go, Donald Trump detours off the campaign trail to promote his new hotel and personally congratulate his surrogate, Newt Gingrich, on this fiery exchange.
You are fascinated with sex and you don't care about public policy.
A new attack on Megyn Kelly as Hillary Clinton barnstorms Florida, where a new poll shows Trump edging ahead. Too drunk to fly, a pilot arrested at the airport after TSA agents sounded the alarm, the latest in a string of troubling incidents. NBC News exclusive, the Pentagon chief shares plans for the next U.S. mission against ISIS. And campus shock at one of the nation's top universities. A student accused of stalking and sexually assaulting women. Authorities make a disturbing discovery in his apartment. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. With 13 days until Election Day, it was down to business today for Donald Trump in a way that you might not expect for a candidate behind in the polls and running out of time. Trump making a detour from the campaign trail and critical battleground states to showcase his hotel business in Washington, D.C. A questionable investment of time with two new tracking polls showing Clinton with a 9-point lead over Trump nationally, illustrating the urgent challenge before him. NBC's Katie Turr is in North Carolina with more on Trump's competing priorities. Katie, good evening.
Hi there, Lester. Donald Trump is about to take the stage here in Kinston, North Carolina. This after, as you said, another unconventional day on the campaign trail that began with a photo op. Now critics are again arguing that Trump is using the attention he gets from his presidential campaign to advertise for his brand.
This is what I want to do for our country.
13 days until the election, trailing in the polls and struggling to stay on message, Donald Trump took a break to advertise his new hotel.
With the notable exception of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, this is the most coveted piece of real estate in Washington, D.C.
It's the 32nd time Trump has taken reporters to one of his properties since announcing. And though the campaign called it a corporate event, he was accompanied by his campaign manager and senior advisors.
Five words: under budget and ahead of schedule.
Proving if it looks and sounds like a stump speech, it probably is a stump speech. Criticism Trump rejected, arguing Clinton was off the trail last night at an Adele concert.
I think it's a very rude question, to be honest with you. And what I do is I want to back my children.
Campaign or commercial, it isn't going well. Trump's high-end business is taking a hit. His star on the Walk of Fame smashed today by a vandal. Rates at Trump's new hotel already slashed. Golfers looking for new courses. A new online poll showing 40% of Americans say they're now less likely to buy Trump products.
He may have to actually reconsider the value proposition of the Trump name. It may be better that he start slapping the Trump name on things that'll be more appealing to his new support base.
Tonight, Trump is in North Carolina, another must-win swing state. He's down in the polls here. And today, a new NBC News Wall Street Journal Marist poll shows he's down 9 points in New Hampshire and tied in Nevada. His running mate Mike Pence could help him out in such battlegrounds, but today he is in Utah.
In any other year, Utah should be a red state, a very red state, and a Republican lock.
But it's not. Conservative voters are rallying behind Evan McMullen, a longtime Republican running as an independent for president.
Right now, I'm really excited about the momentum in the Evan McMullen campaign.
Momentum Trump needs to find for himself if he wants to live in that other historic building on Pennsylvania Avenue. Katie Turr, NBC News, Kinston, North Carolina.
Jay Trump.
I'm Hallie Jackson in Washington, where an unexpected shout-out stood out during Donald Trump's hotel promo.
Congratulations, Newt, on last night. That was an amazing interview.
Trump talking about the fiery back and forth between former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly.
That is worth
it.
You want to go back
and
through the tapes of your show recently? You are fascinated with sex and you don't care about public policy.
Me?
Now, that's
really
what I get out of watching you tonight.
You know what, Mr. Speaker? I'm not fascinated by sex, but I am fascinated by the protection of women.
That was an amazing. We don't play games, Newt, right? We don't play games.
The GOP nominee clearly pleased with what he heard from one of his top surrogates, even if some Republican women are not.
They're losing their minds, and they're not acting like a campaign that's going to close strong.
Mitt Romney's former top aide tweeting, "Every time you talk about it like a Neanderthal, you push more and more women away from the GOP, so stop it."
Speaker, what do you say to the Republican women who saw that interview last night and are upset by it, Frank? What's your message to them?
I haven't seen that in Twitter. I haven't seen that anywhere.
He's just another bomb wiping out Republican women voters, not just for this cycle, but I think to in the long term.
Polling shows Trump's struggled with women voters his whole campaign, a demographic Mitt Romney lost by 11 points in 2012. Trump now trails Hillary Clinton by almost double that, 20 points.
We step into that ballot box and we think about the big things that matter to us. I think more women are going to side with Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton.
Still, with Trump needing help winning women, new questions on whether those tasked with helping him really are. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Washington.
Meantime, Hillary Clinton celebrated her birthday on the campaign trail today, trying to rally votes in Florida, where a new poll shows Trump edging ahead and Clinton using Trump's own hotel event to open a new line of attack on her opponent. Let's get the latest from NBC's Kristen Welker.
How are you feeling on your birthday?
On her 69th birthday, Hillary Clinton barnstorming critical Florida for a second day, urging supporters to go to the polls with early voting underway here.
We've got to get everybody out to vote. Donald Trump says he can still win, and he's right.
A new poll out today shows Trump leading Clinton by 2 points in the Sunshine State. Clinton turning to celebrity chef Jose Andres to help make her case. Andres famously pulled his restaurant out of Trump's new Washington, D.C. hotel after Trump's controversial comments about Latinos. Today, Clinton taking aim.
He once again relied on undocumented workers. The same people he has been insulting and demonizing throughout this campaign.
Clinton hoping rhetoric like that will help drive turnout. An NBC News analysis of early voting in Florida shows an equal number of Democrats and Republicans have voted so far.
But more women have turned out in 12 battleground states where early voting has started, potentially a good sign for Clinton.
More women so far have turned out to vote than men. Why do you think that is?
Because a woman is running for president.
So that's an energizing factor.
Yes, and it's history.
The Clinton campaign says the priority this week is hitting early voting states, including Nevada, Iowa, and North Carolina, and pushing all important millennial voters to make their voices heard. That strategy on display last night when Clinton made a surprise stop at the Adele concert in Miami.
Don't vote for him, that's what I'm saying.
The biggest concern for Democrats now?
If our people are overconfident and they don't turn out because they think it's in the bag, I think the Trump voters are coming out come hell or high water. I think it could be a problem.
The Clinton campaign announcing they'll hold what they hope will be a victory party on election night at the Javits Center, which literally has a glass ceiling. Clinton hoping to make good on that metaphor about women breaking through the highest barrier. Lester.
Kristen Welker, thank you. Tonight in South Dakota, an airline pilot is out on bail after being arrested and charged with showing up drunk for a morning flight to Salt Lake City. He is the latest in a string of pilots arrested for allegedly trying to fly while under the influence. We get details from NBC's Tom Costello.
It was the 8:30 a.m. Delta connection flight, Rapid City to Salt Lake City, delayed at the gate after TSA officers smelled alcohol on the first officer.
We assumed with the local authorities there that it probably wasn't a medical issue, and indeed the first officer was drunk.
Within a few minutes, the first officer, 38-year-old Russell Dusak, was taken into custody. Police say his blood alcohol level was above the legal limit.
This is one of the areas where the pilots and all flight crew members have a virtual zero tolerance for impairment for any reason.
SkyWest Airlines operated today's flight for Delta. It quickly brought in a replacement pilot. In a statement telling NBC News, SkyWest holds its employees to the highest standards of professionalism and the safety and security are top priorities. The arrested pilot now on administrative leave. But Darren Farmer, who was flying with his 9-year-old son, calls the incident outrageous.
You know, it could have injured myself, my son, or frankly killed us if the plane goes down based upon him just showing up to work drunk is just absolutely ridiculous.
Still, it's just the latest case of pilots allegedly trying to fly drunk. In August, two veteran United pilots arrested in Scotland. And in March, an American Airlines pilot in handcuffs at the airport after failing two breathalyzer tests in Detroit. He pleaded no contest. Tonight, yet another pilot accused of trying to fly while intoxicated. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
I want to turn out a new development to the story we've been following for days now that has sparked outrage across the country. Tonight, the government has halted efforts for now to take back enlistment bonuses for members of the California National Guard almost a decade after they were paid. These incentives improperly handed out to boost ranks during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. NBC's Ann Thompson has the latest.
The Pentagon's temporary about-face on recouping bonus payments greeted with skepticism by Brian Strother, an Iraq veteran and member of the California National Guard.
How is anybody joining the military going to sign a contract if these contracts mean absolutely nothing?
Like thousands of other Guard members, Strother was ordered to pay back $25,000 in bonuses and tuition assistance for re-enlisting in 2007. After appeals and a lawsuit, Strother got the amount reduced to $5,000, a debt that's been taking 20% of his monthly pay.
I've lost trust, and that's a hell of a thing to say for people that you depend on for your life. When you're signing, knowing you might pay.
Today, the Pentagon announced it's suspending bonus collection efforts, establishing a streamlined, centralized appeals process by January 1st, and aiming to complete decisions on those appeals by July 1st.
Most people are just caught up in the crossfire here, and we need to give them what they deserve as quickly as possible.
While Carter says some soldiers knew or should have known they were ineligible for the payments, many did not. He has told reviewers to lean in favor of the soldier. Some, like Chris Van Meter, already paid their debt.
That was really tough to swallow. It really was.
Refinancing his house to cover a $46,000 bill. The White House says they will get another chance to appeal.
The president believes those individuals need to be treated fairly as well.
A fair hearing that, for many soldiers, has come at a very high price. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
In addition to the bonus controversy, Defense Secretary Ash Carter is also weighing in tonight in the fight against ISIS. As Iraqi forces continue their push on Mosul, Carter is revealing that a new offensive will be launched within weeks on the ISIS capital in Syria. NBC News Pentagon correspondent Hans Nichols sat down exclusively with Secretary Carter today in Paris.
11 days in and more than 2,000 coalition bombs, rockets, and shells. Still, the Islamic State appeared to hold their lines outside of Mosul today as Iraqi forces moved more than 1,000 civilians out of harm's way. And U.S. Secretary of Defense Ash Carter telling NBC News in an exclusive interview that the U.S. and its allies are already looking across the border to Syria, to the Islamic State's self-proclaimed capital of Raqqa. The plan? Simultaneous campaigns against Mosul and Raqqa.
It starts in the next few weeks. And that's long been our plan, and we'll be capable of resourcing both.
So the assault on Raqqa will start in weeks, not months?
Weeks from now, yes, that's correct.
That means this year, 2016.
That's what we expect. That's our plan. And, of course, we always try to meet our plan, as we have in Mosul.
In Mosul, U.S. forces will get closer and closer to the city center, riding alongside Iraqi and Kurdish troops. But Raqqa will be a far different challenge. Fewer local forces with less training. The focus in Paris, working with allies on how to prevent a cornered Islamic State from desperate attacks against the West, but confidence that the enemy's ranks are thinning.
Remember, we took out the successive military commanders of Mosul, so we're extremely effective at eliminating the leadership of ISIL.
A united offense soon on two fronts. Hans Nichols, NBC News, Brussels.
In Italy today, a pair of powerful earthquakes struck the central part of the country, crumbling churches and buildings in ancient towns near the epicenter, knocking out power and shutting down a major highway. Officials say the aftershock was felt as far south as Rome. It comes less than 2 months after a deadly quake in August killed hundreds of people in Italy. A lot of panic there tonight, but as of now, no reports of widespread deaths or injuries. Still ahead, shocking allegations rocking a major university. Multiple women accusing a student of sexual assault. The disturbing details authorities say they found inside his notebooks. Also, it's a goal many want to achieve, but now experts warn it may take women nearly 200 years to get there. We're back now with those shocking allegations rocking one of the country's most prominent public universities. Police say multiple women have come forward to accuse a student at the University of Wisconsin of sexual assault. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the latest from the campus in Madison.
Tonight, the University of Wisconsin has banned one of its students from campus after multiple women have accused him of sexual assault.
Keep hearing more and more about it, how there's multiple people who have been affected by it, and I guess it just gets more and more sickening as we hear what's happened.
Minnesota native Alec Cook is a junior at the school. So far, he faces 9 charges involving 4 women, but prosecutors say many more counts are pending after dozens of women have come forward. The first woman who went to police said the 20-year-old strangled and assaulted her for more than 2 hours at his apartment on October 12th. Then, as news of his arrest spread around campus, the floodgates opened. Another woman claimed he'd assaulted her back in February, then another and another. Investigators searching his apartment say they found a black book in his nightstand with names of women he'd met and what he wanted to do with them in a very systematic way, according to the search warrant. Disturbingly enough, there were statements of kill and statements of sexual desires.
He will not be allowed to be on university grounds, and so we hope that gives folks a little bit of a peace of mind that this threat is no longer on our campus.
Cook's attorneys say no facts have yet been proven. They're urging the public to keep in mind that not everything you hear is true, and that in the past few years, several grave accusations in similar cases were later proven groundless.
I hope that, I don't know, more people are starting to feel safe now that this person has been arrested for it.
I think this is just a problem on any campus. I think you could go anywhere in America and find, you know, a case of this nature. So I almost wish it was surprising.
Cook is now being held without bail. He's due in court tomorrow. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Madison, Wisconsin.
And we will take a break now and switch gears. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the uninvited guest who wreaked havoc inside a restaurant. How long will it take for women to get pay equality around the world? A very long time indeed, according to a new estimate by the World Economic Forum that says the global pay gap won't close for a whopping 170 years if trends don't change. In recent years, the White House says American women have earned 79 cents on the dollar compared to men. And the video of the day comes from Northwest Indiana, where diners just looking for a quiet meal instead got a shock that had them running for the exits. A deer crashing through a window, running over tables, nearly colliding with a woman near the entrance before smashing through another window on the way out. He didn't leave a tip. When we come back, why one high school football team has been awfully lonely on the field lately. Finally tonight, a private high school football team that's racked up a ton of wins, often without ever playing a down. That's because they're so dominant, many opponents refuse to even step on the field with them. Our Joe Fryer takes us through a season filled with ups and downs that's taught these players some valuable lessons.
For a team that's undefeated, the Wildcats of Archbishop Murphy High, north of Seattle, use some rather glum words to describe their season.
A mess.
It's definitely a little disappointing.
They won their first 3 games by a combined score of 170-0. After that, 5 of their opponents decided to forfeit. Call it Friday night lights out.
We don't want to be sitting at home or watching other teams play. We want to be on the field ourselves playing the game that we love.
The team's not just really good, they're really big.
I'm 6'3". How tall are you?
6'8".
Abe Lucas is one of 6 players topping 250 pounds, which concerned opposing players and parents.
We will not play Archbishop.
That's like, you know, putting a VW bug up against a Mack truck.
The forfeits are having a trickle-down effect on the Wildcats cheer squad and pep band.
It's kind of brought down, like, our spirits a little bit.
So many schools have forfeited, the team hasn't played a game in a month and a half. But now, that's about to change.
We finally have a game again.
Across Puget Sound, the Olympic High Trojans are fine-tuning their slingshot for a battle with Goliath.
It's exciting for me.
knowing that I got to, you know, complete a challenge like that.
The team never considered forfeiting.
You know, there's not only lessons in football, but lessons in life we could learn from this.
So finally, Archbishop Murphy takes the field. A victory for the band, the cheerleaders, and the team, which wins big. And with no injuries, it's a game best defined by the size of the players' hearts. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Everett, Washington.
That's going to do it for us on a Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.